Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
So I just saw the headline that Tiger Woods is going to write his own memoir. Do you think John Feinstein is the ghostwriter?
Or will John Feinstein make it in the memoir?
Well, John Feinstein will know who the ghostwriter is, I bet.
More than likely.
John joins us now. John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent. We are well. Who will be Tiger Woods' ghostwriter?
Well, I can tell you for sure it won't be me.
Yeah. We were betting on that. Are things like this known generally in the author community?
Well, I think his name will be on the book somewhere. Tiger did a book a couple of years ago on his first win at the Masters, and I forget what the title was. You know, it was something like "My First Win at the Masters" or something clever like that. And the ghostwriter was a guy named Lauren Rubenstein, who's been around forever. He's a Canadian. Good writer. But his name was, I think it said, by Tiger Woods, contributor Lauren Rubenstein or something. It didn't actually give Lauren credit for writing it. But I'm sure whoever writes it will certainly get some kind of credit and probably get a terrible financial deal because Mark Steinberg will take a hard-nosed approach to negotiating and saying, look, you're going to make a lot of money on this book, so we want an 80-20 split for Tiger or something like that.
So, John, a bad week for the NBA gets even worse. LeBron James says that Daryl Morey wasn't educated and was misinformed with his tweet in support of protesters in Hong Kong. What did you make of his statements?
What I made of it is I don't understand it, to be honest. I admire LeBron James for many of the things that he said and done building the school in Akron off the court. And it's becoming pretty clear to me that word has come down from the NBA to players and coaches, stay out of this. You know, say you don't understand the subject or the issue clearly enough to comment rather than to take the James Harden route and say, oh, China's the greatest or do what Daryl Morey did on the other side of the coin. And LeBron said that, but then he said, how was Daryl Morey misinformed? I mean, video of what's going on there is right in front of us. I mean, it's impossible to miss. And then he also said that when you tweet and you're only thinking about yourself, things tend to go wrong. Well, whatever you want to say about Daryl Morey's tweet, clearly he was not only thinking about himself when he tweeted. So I'm baffled by this, other than the fact that, again, it appears to me that a lot of people, my friend Steve Kerr included, have been put in a very uncomfortable position by the NBA, basically being told by their bosses, stay out of this. And, but LeBron did not handle it particularly well, whereas Kerr just said, look, I don't know that much about this subject. My expertise is in gun control. That's why I've commented on that a lot in the past.
When's the last time Steve Kerr let somebody tell him what he could and couldn't say?
Well, you know, it's a good point, but Steve Kerr is an employee, and he's not going to get fired or anything. But if his bosses, who have been good to him, you know, he makes a lot of money, said, Steve, we want you to stay out of this, I wouldn't be surprised. Because I think you're right, Paul, that Steve's instinct would be to say, you know, look, Daryl Morey was right. And of course, everybody is now saying, well, he had a right to say what he said, but maybe he shouldn't have said it. I obviously disagree. He had a right to say what he said, and there was nothing wrong with him.
I know they don't have the same audiences by any means in the large picture. But if people were turning off the NFL over players kneeling for the national anthem, shouldn't the public reaction be far more extreme based on how the NBA's handled this whole China issue?
Yes, I agree it should be, Paul, but it won't be because A lot of people don't understand the issues. I mean, probably there are a large percentage of NBA fans who didn't even know what was going on in Hong Kong until this controversy broke out. It started by Daryl Morey's tweet on October the 4th. And, you know, Americans aren't being attacked. You know, an American business is being affected, but Americans aren't being attacked. And many people looked at kneeling for the national anthem as an attack on our country. And on being American. So I think you're right, Paul, that the reaction should be more extreme, but it won't be.
One thing I want to focus in on what LeBron James says. Yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that too. John, this sounds like shut up and dribble talk to me, yes, coming from LeBron James, who thoroughly objected to that.
Ironically enough, it does, Chad. That's why I find it so baffling. And then you've got the quote in front of you. I don't, but he went on to say it can have a negative effect on you financially and something else and spiritually.
Yeah, he says it can be affected by the families and individuals. Everyone can be affected by it. And he goes on to say financially, spiritually, physically.
Physically was the third one.
Oh, sorry. Financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point. If you've been told to please not say anything, to please not attack the league, that the league is trying to repair its relationship with China, which is a $1 billion deal for the league, I get that. But if you've been told to do that, just don't say too much. And it's like sometimes when you start trying to talk your way out of a corner, and you talk your way further into the corner, and I think that's what LeBron did here.
Want more? More content from 104.5 The Zone? Head to our website and click on the podcast page for original podcasts, on-demand audio, and your favorite shows. Get the best from The Wake Up Zone, Midday 180, 3HL, and The Big Six. Plus, check out originals like Paul Kuharsky Elsewhere, Step One Learn Sports, The Pop Six, The Strike Zone, The Ultimate Tennessee Podcast, and more. Subscribe to our podcast feeds for Apple and Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify to have them download straight to your smartphone. Check it out now, 104.5thezone.com/podcast.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John Feinstein with us, brought to you by All American Pest Control. Plans starting at just $39 a month. Visit yuckbugs.com.
So, John, how's the mood in Washington these days?
Yeah, I know. To say that people here are over the top is putting it mildly, Paul. You know, they were happy that the Mystics won a WNBA title, although that's clearly a limited fan base. And now it looks like the Nats are finally going to make the World Series. And I was bombarded this morning by tweets from Nats fans saying, now do you think you were wrong when you said they shouldn't have sat Strasburg down in 2012? Well, of course they shouldn't have sat Strasburg down in 2012. They had a chance to win the World Series. They had the best record in baseball. If they didn't want to pitch him more than 160 innings coming off Tommy John surgery, that was fine. What I said was, sit him down in August, you know, or have him pitch three innings when he starts, because they'd already run away with the Heat. And they gave away a chance to win the World Series. Now it looks like they're finally going to get there. Good for them. Clayton Kershaw's got to be sitting at home, banging his head against the wall for giving up those two eighth-inning home runs in Game 5 last week. Something he'll have to live with for a long time. But they're on a roll. They won something like 11 of their last 12 in the regular season, and they're now 7-2 in postseason. So they are on a roll, and if they get to play your Yankees, Paul, in the World Series, I think they'll win. If they play the Astros, not so sure. But, yeah, people here are giddy to the point where they have almost forgotten the Washington NFL team.
I will be at game one, provided my team takes care of
business. I love
that
Paul's already made his plans with the series.
He'll be
one.
In Houston.
I said provided they take care of business.
So, and have a great time.
Taking my 10-year-old.
Well, then I hope he has a good time, too. It's a boy, right? Or
yeah,
a girl.
He.
Yeah. Well, I hope he has a good time, too. And I'm also enjoying your team's success. What I don't understand about sports fans sometimes is how hostile they become with anybody who dares disagree with them. And I've been experiencing it this morning. My friend and colleague Tom Boswell, who he and I totally disagreed on the whole Strasburg thing, tweeted that there were people, and that's directed at me, who said in 2012 the Nationals would never get to the World Series. Nobody could possibly be stupid enough to say that a team would never get to the World Series or never get to the Super Bowl. I mean, for crying out loud, even the Cubs and Red Sox have won World Series recently. So it's a shame people can't just enjoy the success of their team.
So, John, I'm going to ask you a question about a soccer player that has nothing to do with soccer, I promise, okay? You ready for this?
Go right ahead.
Carly Lloyd, in an interview talking about the latest World Cup, says, "I'm not going to lie and sugarcoat it. It was absolutely the worst time of my life. It affected my relationship with my husband, with my friends. It was rock bottom for my entire career, but somehow you see the light at the end of the tunnel." The problem with the statement is they won the World Cup, and she won her second World Cup. And this is how she's talking about it. Your thoughts on those statements after her country and her teammates won a World Cup?
I'm trying to get some context here. Is that a reference to her playing time?
That's a reference to her not playing a lot and not being used. She's saying she should have been on the field the entire time. But I don't know how you're arguing that when the outcome was your team won the World Cup.
I think you can make an argument that she might maybe shouldn't have been on the roster.
Yeah, and you know a lot more about it than I do, Paul, in terms of who should have or should not have been on the roster. What I will say is this. Most great athletes, and Carly Lloyd has been a great player, have big egos. But I agree with you, Chad, that at some point you put the ego aside and say, boy, I'm glad I was a part of this. I'm glad I got to win a second World Cup. And, you know, the run of that team was very exciting for millions of Americans. And for her to say it was rock bottom in her life, I find that kind of depressing that she would think that way. She is married. I would hope that her relationship with her husband, if nothing else, would keep her from, quote-unquote, hitting rock bottom over a lack of playing time. Now, if she had said, you know, I wish I had played more. I thought I deserved to get in the lineup more. That's fine. I mean, that's the way you want a competitor to feel. But to say I hit rock bottom while my team was winning a world championship, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, way too strong.
John, thank you as always, and we will catch up again next Monday.
Paul, thank you as always, and I will look forward to talking to you next Monday.
John Feinstein, normally each Monday with us at 11:15.
I misspoke there. I wouldn't have made the case that Carly Lloyd shouldn't have been on the roster, but I have a friend who made the case that Carly Lloyd shouldn't have been on the roster.
Well, she went on to say, there's no denying it. I deserve to be on the field that whole World Cup, but I wasn't. I think I've grown as a person, as a player. It sucked. It absolutely sucked. They won the World
Cup.
I'm
curious who she would have replaced, who she thinks shouldn't have been on the field.
It's just weird that I would understand if they performed horribly and you're saying that I couldn't be out there to help and I should have been out there. But whatever you think about decisions, that the outcome was right because they won the World Cup. That's an incredibly selfish thing to say. I know that a lot of sports, you know, we're not all Pollyanna with our view of sports and think it's all about the team at all times and people don't get selfish and this and that. That is an incredibly selfish statement
it's
by Carly
tough.
Lloyd, and I lost some respect for her.
You
when
ever
I read
deal
that.
With this? Because I'm a huge Carly Lloyd fan, and I hear that and I think, man, that makes me cringe. And like you're saying, I feel like you do, but I'm probably a bigger fan of hers than you are. And so what's the reaction when somebody you really like and have rooted hard for says something like that that's a real turnoff? How does it affect your quote-unquote relationship with the person that you've rooted for as they reach the end of their career?
I wonder if any LeBron James fans are thinking the same thing you are right now with Carly Lloyd. How many big fans of LeBron James, after he made that statement, are thinking, yeah, I'm out? Or that's really disappointing. If you're a hardcore fan of his, you're not out. But how many people are thinking, this just sounds dumb now, because he's wrong.
And you were out on him once.
I'm
like,
sorry.
If you're an average person like me, I was out on him with the decision. It took a long time for me to be back in, and now I'm kind of out.
Well, I mean, you could be the biggest diehard LeBron James fan in the world, but you got to disagree with that, because he's been someone that's so outspoken on so many things, and now he's guarded against the First Amendment in what he's saying. Well, the freedom of speech is great, but, you know, there can be negative ramifications because I don't like what this guy said.
Is he just trying to say, hey, there was a chance at physical danger for us there, and I wish he took that into account because something really bad could have happened over there. If that's what he's trying to say, and he just said what I was saying, should have left that alone.
He said he needed to educate himself.
Well, if he's saying he should have educated himself on the idea that we could have been in physical danger, I don't have a problem with that. If he narrowed the envelope and said what I'm saying, that wouldn't have been a bad comment. I think I might have said that if I came back and said, you know what? It was uncomfortable over there. Something could have happened to us. I wish we didn't have this conversation until we got back. That wouldn't have been an unreasonable thing to say. But the envelope was way too big, what he did. Emotionally, spiritually, blah, 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 blah. And you're exactly right to flip the script on him with the shut up and dribble.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what he's saying. Yeah. Maury should do.
That was very good, buddy.